This is The Dig on the Huskers Radio Network podcast, powered by Emeritus, featuring Nebraska volleyball assistant coach Jordan Larson. Here's your host, Jessica Cootie.
Welcome back into another episode of The Dig, and welcome back, Jordan Larson. Another trip on the road, a back-to-back at Ohio State and Michigan State. How was the weekend?
Yeah, it was really good. I think back-to-back is always a challenge, you know, but I thought we did a really good job of coming in strong Friday night against Michigan State, and then obviously, you know, Ohio State had a pretty tough match the night before against Penn State, but I think any travel we have, or, you know, depending on how long the match goes, you know, there's still some fatigue involved and mental fatigue as well. So being able to kind of attack Saturday as well as we did, and kind of on a short-term timeline as well. So it's good.
And how did they handle, too? I mean, you're now, when you're doing these back-to-backs and you're playing different teams that play different styles, how did they handle just the preparation of the quick turnaround, too?
Yeah, we try to prep them during the week, you know, so like how we're going to see different offenses, or there's certain players that we're kind of prepping for. And so we kind of highlight that during the week, so they have a general baseline before going into the match. And then depending on that match day, then we try to kind of reinforce what we had been learning. So, but in general, volleyball isn't that complicated to some degree, but it there are some general tendencies that you can get on quickly.
So wanted to dive into a couple different things from each of those matches. Michigan State, Lauren and JB were talking maybe some of the rotation issues and just the runs that teams are able to go on in certain situations, and that maybe has been something that we've seen from this team. What is the issue with that, and how can you work through that?
They were saying runs on us, that people were getting runs on us. I think it's just, it depends on a rotation that we're in, and depending on the hitters and their strategy against us, right? I think obviously their job is to stop us. And so how we're trying to teach our players, how quickly can we acknowledge what's happening and then be able to change the narrative, right? But it's hard in match to just kind of acknowledge that and then being able to see how to adjust from there. So I think we're working on problem solving and trying to get them to think critically on their own, and then be able to kind of read the situation and assess, and then be able to kind of attack in reverse. So,
how important, I guess, what is that process like for a player to figure out on their own the adjustments that need to be made in any given match?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's giving them the chance to think on their own, right? I think a lot of times as a coach, we're kind of giving feedback and those things, but I think how quickly can we teach them what they're seeing, like being able to see what's happening and then being able to react accordingly. And then some people just see the game quicker, right? Like we have certain athletes that are, they just, you know, whether it's how they grew up, maybe the amount of years they've been playing, or they just have a natural eye for it. So if they see it sooner, how can they share? And then if they can share and then be able to, hey, this is happening, how do we stop it, right? And then obviously in collaboration with us and how we can give information for them, but I think it's giving them the autonomy to be able to learn and adjust on their own. But I think it comes from failure too, right?
Yeah.
Like learning by failing is sometimes the greatest lesson.
So then you guys have JB was talking about some travel issues, maybe sat on the runway a little bit or on the bus a little bit, but you get done late, then you travel and you have the earlier game time against Ohio State to be on NBC. How did they handle just, again, the fatigue of the travel and all of that?
Yeah, we were a little delayed, but that, you know, I didn't hear any complaints or anything like that, which is awesome. And, I thought we did a good job of recovering. It was a quick turnaround, like you said, but I don't know. I really am proud of our girls for, I think, recovering well, doing what they need to do to, like, get themselves in the right state of mind too, right? I think it's not just physical, but the mental state as well. And and then Ohio State had a big high, you know, like they were coming off a big high. So you just never know, like, how a team's going to respond then, but it's always best to prep for the best. And yeah.
I thought it was so cool to look up on the TV and to see volleyball on NBC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, as this game continues to grow, we've seen the ABC matches and now on NBC for the first time. What does that mean to you personally, to that's something that is happening now for this sport?
Yeah, it's crazy just to see the movement and attention in volleyball and, like, what's coming up the pipe, you know, and to the Nebraska's kind of on the forefront of that is really, really cool. And I think as a young girl growing up in the state, I never would have imagined, right? Like, my dream was to play here, but also just to see how the university has really taken hold of, like, really expanding the sport and growing the sport.
How important is that, too, just, you know, to continue to have the eyeballs on this game, like on an NBC, leading into a football primetime night on a Saturday, to be able to have that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm actually getting chills. You can't see it right now, but it's like, it's so huge, you know, and I think it's fun. It's a fun game to watch. Obviously, I'm biased, but it's fun to watch and fun to watch these girls like go execute. And like you said, like primetime, like it deserves a space. And I love that people are paying attention.
So in that match, Emily Londot, they were obviously on the broadcast really bragging about her, yeah. And she was able to really get going. And then against Purdue, too, you've seen a couple different matches where you have had some outside hitters. How do you go about slowing someone down like that?
Yeah, it's tough. You have to give respect to them, right? Like, they're great players, so they're going to find a way. And I think their ability to hit with range, you know, if anything, if I'm trying to be one of the better hitters in the league, it's like, what are they doing and how do I do it, you know, as a player, too? But it's an interesting way of, you know, stopping. It's like relative, right? I think even we see it at the national level. We have big international opposites, big international hitters. Sometimes we have to just say, like, they're going to get theirs, and then how can we kind of control and dictate the pace of the game on our side of the net? And a lot of that is in our control, and sometimes we can't really necessarily control what's happening on the other side of the net. So I think it's, again, how quickly can we come to a solution of what is in that control, and then how do we adjust from there? So ultimately, we have a game plan going in, and we try to execute to the best we can, but sometimes they're still going to get theirs. So how quickly can we... We talk about FRS as like failure recovery system. How, when something happens, how quickly can we move on to the next thing and just continue to push through?
Because in reality, I mean, as this sport continues to grow and you see so many talented athletes, there's going to come a point where, hey, they're just that good. How do we respond to that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think like as a hitter, you hope, we talk about hitting with range. So being able to hit pretty much every shot is important, crucial. And so if you're good enough as a hitter, you see what's happening in front of you, and then you're able to make a shot accordingly. And so if a hitter is that good, it's like, well, we're trying to make adjustments, but then how can we have an offense that just attacks even more? So blocking defense is huge, and it does win a lot of matches. However, I think if we're still producing on the offensive front, we're still in really good shape.
So we saw a lot of Taylor Lanfair over the weekend. What did she do in the practice throughout the week to earn her opportunities over the weekend?
Yeah, she, unfortunately, I was not in practice this last week. Had a trip to New York for a couple days. But from the sounds of it, she just had a really good week of practice and had kind of earned that spot for us this week. And I think what we're lucky to have is a lot of depth and a lot of people that really want to be good. And Krause is very much still... again, we have a lot of depth. Krause and Harper is doing really well. So being able to give them chances when it's earned, and it's, you know, I think it's, volleyball is interesting. It's like role clarity is huge, but can we operate in a space that when we have depth, can we have ability to people to buy into that space and be able to accept that role as well?
Coach was saying that he feels like this team thrives on the competition and in practice. I know you were not there last week, but how have you seen that continue to develop for these players where I got to go compete day in and day out to be able to have my spot and have my opportunities?
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest things about coming here is that if you want to be the best, you have to compete against the best. And sometimes competition's hard. It's not easy. What we do every day is not easy. And you sign up for that because sometimes getting outside your comfort zone actually makes you better. And if we can have our players embrace that, it's actually fun. Like when you're competing at a really high level, even in practice, like it's, you know, sharing a few looks across the net every now and then. No, that's just me. But I think having that healthy balance is really important and actually brings out a lot of really good things, even if it means you're failing, right? Like, again, I think they will get to the end of their career and be like excited the fact of like, hey, I learned how to go through failure and how to recover and then how to do it again. And there's just a lot of life applicable skills that can be applied post-volleyball.
Well, Taylor had obviously a decorated career before she got here. She's such an impressive woman, but how much was it just a process, too, when she got here in the summer of just settling into what this program is and the culture and figuring out her teammates to be able to get going?
Yeah, and I think giving her grace in that space as well, right? It's not easy what she's doing, and I think it's just acknowledging, like, hey, like, there's a lot of changes. And she's like, I feel like a freshman again almost at times. I think she's voiced that. And so I think understanding that she's still working through some things and we're asking her to change quite a bit and also giving grace for her on that side of this as the coaching staff as well. So it's really cool to see her kind of coming onto her own and really kind of embracing that, embracing those changes.
I think the last time you were here, we talked a lot about Merritt Beeson, mm-hmm. but we also saw her more on the back row and attacking. She was very, very effective yep. and efficient. What was it about, I guess, over the weekend that she was able to really have a lot of success on the back row attack?
Yeah, we're trying to integrate her back into it. I think it was a little bit of a slow start to the beginning of the season, and then obviously getting Lainey in there as well. And so, to really see her kind of expanding in that, and it's a huge offensive threat for us. And if we can keep getting her going there, it's really a big tool for us. So she's doing great, and obviously, for me, a lifetime learner and really fun to work with every day and just wants to be so good.
What was the process of getting going? Like, how do you work through that to where you are effective back there?
Yeah, it's kind of a rhythm thing too, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think getting comfortable with, you know, there are certain things that we do change, you know, a little bit mid-season of like how we want to run things. You know, think the game's constantly evolving. And so I think getting comfortable based off the player and then determine on the set that she needs and like how she needs it. I think there's a lot of variables that go into that that maybe a lot of people don't realize. It's not just like, hey, we're going to set the same ball and this is what it's going to be. And I think it's working through that and giving her the confidence to be in that space and for her to execute at a high level.
Well, Coach Cook gave you a lot of props with just working with Harper Murray and the progress that she's been able to make. How special has it been for you to see her growth and where she is as a player this year?
Oh, man, it is. It's so cool. It really is. And I think that's, I don't know, I just even our whole group, honestly, like they make me so excited to come to work every day, right? I call it work, but it's a joy every day. And so, but Harper really has taken everything. I mean, it's not easy what she went through and how she's going through it. And, but you see it every day. I mean, just her positive light in practice has been awesome. And willingness to work through, like if something's not going right, like being able to make that change immediately, it's awesome. And I think it looks like she's having a lot of fun, which is also very encouraging.
Has the game also slowed down for her? I mean, she's obviously so talented, but yeah. then once you see it the second time around, does it start to slow down a little bit too?
Yeah, I think so. And I think she's, yeah, like you said, she's a natural talent, so things kind of can come to some degree, but there is a level of work ethic that has to be there. But I think she has a nice balance of, I think an athlete can get stuck in like, I'm trying so hard that actually it limits me and where my capacity can be. And I think she has this balance between like, she's working hard, but also letting it flow. And I think that actually shows that she can play with a lot of freedom. And so I think you're kind of seeing that blossom this year. And I also think that your freshman year, you know, you're trying to navigate, yeah. you know, and then I feel like I felt it my, you know, that sophomore year kind of just finally turn a page and you're like, oh, okay, I got this, you know, yeah. and I really see that change in her, which is cool.
How much improved too is just her passing and just the all yeah. phases of yeah, her game?
Yeah, it's really, and passing is so mental. It's so mental. And to be able to endure, like, and over a long time, what game was it? I think it was Purdue. She had 50 attempts or something. And they were just on her. And like to pass 50 balls and to be at like over a 2-4, I think she was, which is like, I'm probably remembering that wrong, but it was like, that is a really hard job to do. And then to be able to attack on top of that, right? Like that's impressive.
What is it like as an athlete? Because we had, I think it was Lindsay was on when she was on talking about Olivia and her passing how, because she's a true freshman, people maybe attack her. We saw yep. people try to attack Harper. When you're in a match and you're like, they are coming at me every time. Yeah. What is that like to handle that?
It's hard. It's really hard. And then it goes into like, okay, well, I passed it this way with this technique. This is the different ball. I think I'm going to do this. You're constantly playing like not mind games with yourself, but just constantly trying to keep yourself grounded. And I think where the next layer is, and I'm trying to encourage them, is just getting outside themselves. Like we talk about, I like to talk about getting external. Like how can I, if I'm struggling, like the quickest thing you can do is say, hey, I need help. And like, how can you help me? Or what do you see? Like a teammate next to you. And the more you feel like you kind of have someone behind you, the more you're willing or able to endure. So I don't know. I just, it's a definitely a mental battle. And then some people have a different strategy coming in the game. So it's like, okay, they're not serving me today. So then I just have to attack. And it's like, it's a weird yeah. thing. So,
you know, with the passing, is it something too where it's like, you could be a really great passer and have an off day. I mean, it kind of like shooting, like a shooter in basketball. Is it kind of like that, where it's just, it's not my day today?
Yeah, and it very much could happen. And so I think in high performance, right, it's like, how can we get to a level of consistency, right, that can show up every day? And that starts in practice, right? And we're trying to fight that balance of like having ebb and flows, but like not having so much like down. It's like, can we just remain consistent? If that means we're passing just consistently at a 2-4, like, right, eventually the more work you put in, like over time, it should show up for you. So believing and trusting in that process and having faith that it's going to show up for you is huge.
When you talk about the consistency in practice and then just, again, what we see in the matches, mm-hmm. and the competition that we talked about earlier, is it something where you're rotating people and then seeing, is it an individual type that you're looking at, how they're fitting with the whole team? How do you guys go about, okay, this is going to be what's best for us this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there are little drills or side things that we kind of do, like nuances that we try to maybe execute with a certain athlete. But in general, we do more of a group setting and our main starters, you could say. And then we have a few moving pieces as well. So I'm not giving you a very clear answer because it really does change weekly and also daily. So I think it's just being able to understand like what needs to be executed that day and what we're trying to get good at. But I think it's getting them to buy into it's a choice, how you show up today. How am I showing up today? How am I attacking the day? If I'm not 100%, okay, if I'm 70%, how do I give 100% of that 70%? And like legit thinking about that. And if you're not there, then being able to ask someone for help of like, hey man, I need your energy today because I'm, you know, half tank. So I think getting them to understand like consistency breeds consistency almost. It's like, how do you show up and have that consistent behavior every day?
Yeah, and I gotta imagine too that you say that, but then there are just some days that you just feel off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and then it's just balancing that and managing, knowing that you're not going to feel like that all
exactly
all
and
the time.
I think like that's why I think sports psych is so important. I think the quicker you can acknowledge that, right, mm-hmm. the quicker you can make it almost a thing, like the more you can actually not sit in it and like be able to move through that,
right?
And I think oftentimes we sit in that space of like, oh man, I just feel not great today. But the best is when you can switch the narrative and change the narrative and get yourself into something that's better. And even on your worst days, sometimes actually turn into your best days. And so it's being able to get them to believe in that actually can happen and you can change the outcome of what that is.
When did you realize that, the importance of that in your career?
Oh my gosh. I felt the mental weight here. Like when I came to Nebraska, I was like, whoa, this is another level, right? And how am I going to be able to continue to push the edge? Because my physical skill was all of a sudden matching those around me. And I wasn't a high jumper. People said I was different, but I didn't feel different. And I didn't, you know, it didn't equate because my testing results weren't, you know, the top of the top, right? And so I had to figure out, how am I going to have this edge? And that was being able to control my mind. And I think that being able to control the emotions that come in and come out, and then how I can get to a point of like being able to execute that. But I couldn't do it alone. And I think acknowledging that you can't do it alone is a step in itself. And then knowing the steps to go there. It's like, hey, what sports site can give me tools? Like whether it's a focal point, whether it's stepping into the circle. I work with one famous sports site, Ken Revisa. He worked in baseball a lot, right? Like working with pitchers, like before they step on the mound, like getting your mind to be able to step in and be like, I'm present, I'm here now. This is all I can control is this moment right now. So little things like that little tools along the way that have allowed me to kind of sharpen what has made my mind like still able to change the narrative for me.
And then do you enjoy passing that along?
I love it so much. But I also know it's like, it's not for everyone.
Right.
Right. And like, I think being able to understand who it's for and how to navigate that conversation. But it is one of the, you know, one or two conversations like, hey, are you talking to anyone? Because I think getting out fears and anxiety, like everybody has them.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the highest level, right? We're all like, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to lose this. You know, like those are normal. And the more you can acknowledge that that's real, it actually gives you tools to be able to get through that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just not afraid to go there, I guess.
But. Yeah, great perspective.
Yeah.
Well, you had said earlier you went to New York. You had a cool experience last week with the Women's Sports Foundation. Tell us about that. How awesome was that experience?
Yeah. So actually, a couple years ago, I won the Women's Sportswoman of the Year or something, but I wasn't able to attend because I don't remember. I was going to play overseas. I was going to play in Italy, I believe. And so I had been invited the last couple of years and just wasn't able to go. And so I actually emailed John like three months ago. I was like, hey, can I go to this event? It's kind of right in the middle of the season. Wasn't anticipating anything. And he was like, yeah, sure. And so it's Billie Jean King's foundation. And they were celebrating 50 years of the foundation. And it was just a lot of powerful women in one room. And a lot of athletes, Olympic athletes. It was just an awesome experience. And just to see, right, the celebration of women in sport and just how the games are evolving, right? Like how soccer is evolving and has evolved, how basketball, right? The final the other day, like I didn't even see the record. Well, I didn't get a watch, but what was the record? Did you see the attendance?
It was all season shattering, yes, record after record,
which
is for them.
Amazing, right? And I think now seeing the pro scene that's coming on here, right? Like I think there's only bigger waves coming, and to be in a room with a lot of people that were kind of at the forefront of that was really fun.
You've been at the pinnacle of your sport. You've done so much. How important is it for you to continue to be inspired by stuff like that and women that are doing things outside of even volleyball?
Yeah. I go in between this place of feeling just immense gratitude of just, I feel blessed for what I've been able to have. So asking for more seems sometimes criminal at times in my feeling, but I also know that like there is more and women do deserve more. And seeing now our athletes like having, you know, our billboards around town, like it is the coolest thing. Like I just never would have thought the impact that it would have on me now. And I think back to when I was a kid, like who did I look up to, right? The Michael Jordans, right? But now it's like, I want to be Andy Jackson. Like, you know, like that is the narrative and like across the nation, right? Like not just in Nebraska. And so I think it's really cool to be behind that and then to continue to push that narrative and what that's like. And I think now I talk to girls that are graduating college and they're like, well, I might go overseas or I might stay in the States. Like the fact that that's even an option like is, it's amazing. And they get to be home. And I think we have a lot of girls that retire because they have to go overseas and they have to be away from their family for 7 to 8 months and it's just not worth it for them. And so to see that they get to do that and do the sport they love for longer, it's amazing. So
now you're giving me chills.
I know. Yeah, it's really cool. And I think about all the great players that came before me that retired early because they couldn't play, you know? And I'm like, I see it also from our national team standpoint. It was like, it took us 60 years to win a gold medal, 60. Maybe more. I think it was 65. Why not? But it's like the amount of depth that we have in the United States, like we should be winning gold medal after gold medal, like without question, you know, and because of the depth and the understanding of the game and all the things. I'll stop talking now. But it's just we have the capacity and to do really well at the highest level.
It's coming.
Yeah, it is coming.
So you were a Michael Jordan fan.
I was a huge Michael Jordan fan. I actually like wrote him a note. I was like, hey, can you sign this card? But it wasn't like his authentic one to sign. But they did write back. So that's a win. But that would be an ultimate person to like be able to meet one day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because he was just wired a different way. Did you, I guess, study him and how he went about his craft?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at the time, this probably ages me, but I was like the access to like be able to learn about him wasn't really like in the forefront that it is now, right? I can scroll on Instagram. It's like immediate like quote of like what he's thought, you know? Or like back then it was like dial-up internet, you know? It's like it took 10 minutes to even connect, you know? So I think it was some internal, right, like motivation for sure, but like watching on TV and be able to see like how he was presenting himself was something. And I think him and Scottie Pippen, like that relationship, like for me, I was just like, you know, Michael did a lot on his own, but I also think like having Scotty like kind of alongside, like watching that whole transpire was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, well, just a couple more for you. Let's circle back. And this week, you know, I know you guys approach every week, like where can we get better? What are the things we're focusing on? So what's the focus for this week for the Huskers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on it earlier, just competing, right? We're coming in competing with each other because that's going to bring out the best in us. And but I think that there's a few things that we're trying to shore up. You know, I think different passing lineups, different servers that we're going to be seeing this weekend. Michigan's playing really well right now, which kudos to Aaron, my assistant coach for the national team, is having them playing really well right now. So I know we're going to see a good Michigan team. And yeah. There's just little things here and there, you know, nothing major. But.
And back home, you guys are going on the road a bunch here coming up over the next month, but you get to be at home. So how important is that to be able to be back home and in front of this crowd and I guess maybe not have to travel to play?
Yeah, no, it's great. And Husker Nation's awesome. And I just love the energy. I know the girls love being home and be able to play in Devaney. It's great.
All right. Well, Jordan Larson, great stuff.
Yeah.
Always up talking to you. Fun talking about the Women's Sports Foundation. Big things happening. So thank you so much for sharing. And
absolutely.
Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
And that is Jordan Larson here with us on The Dig. The Dig is proud to be powered by Emeritus, powers this podcast and all of Husker Women's Sports. Thanks for listening and watching. And as always, make sure you subscribe and like wherever you listen to never miss an episode right here on the Huskers Radio Network podcast.